Now, Mark chapter 9, we see an interesting story. We see a story of a man who had a son. We see a story of a man who had a son who was demon-possessed. And this man, he brought his son to the disciples, hoping that the disciples would make a difference, hoping the disciples would cure his son. If you look at verse number 17, the Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth him, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out." So we see the man telling Jesus, "I brought my son to you. I brought my son to your disciples, hoping they would cure him, hoping they would do something with my son." And you know, this man had something that many of us have here in this room. This man simply had a need. And all of us, we all have needs. And we see this man with his need going to the disciples, hoping that he would help out in his need. But notice that the disciples could not help. Look at verse 18 again. It says, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." So we see this man telling Jesus, "I brought my need to your people, to your followers, to your disciples, hoping they would help me out, hoping they would make this difference, hoping to cure his son." And notice, they couldn't help. They couldn't step in and fix the situation that this man was looking at. But notice the response of Jesus. Look at verse number 19. In verse 19, Jesus said, "He answered them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." See, Jesus was not happy the disciples could not cure this man. He said, "O faithless generation." See, Jesus expected his disciples to help this man. He expected them to make a difference. Why? Because he says in verse 19, he says, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" He's saying, "I'm not always going to be around physically to fix all the problems." He was saying, "How long do you think I'm going to be with you to just fix everything?" And Jesus expected his disciples to be ready because he knew that one day he wasn't going to be around. He expected them to help this man because one day Jesus wouldn't be there to just fix all the problems. Don't turn there, but John 7:33, the Bible says, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." He said, "I'm here with you a little while, and then I go." See, he was upset that they couldn't meet this need. And so we see this man, he has this need. He needed help. He goes to the disciples. The disciples could not help. And Jesus was upset because one day he said he wasn't going to be around. One day he was going to go away. And then what? Who's going to be left? And you see, today, just like Jesus prophesied, Jesus Christ is not here physically today. And yet today, just like in the story back then, people still have needs. And you know what? God expects us to do something about that. So there's three points about this story I want to help you about meeting needs. Now, that could be anything, whether it be your friends, whether it be your family, whether it be your church. There are needs all around us. And I want to give you three points in this story to help you about meeting needs. And the first point I want to give you is realize your expectation. Realize your expectation. You're in Mark 9. Keep your place in Mark 9. Go to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12. You see, you are expected to do something. Jesus was upset because he expected the disciples to make a difference. He expected the disciples to use the training he had given them. Jesus gave them his word. He spake to them the word. He gave them training. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them the example of how to follow him. And he expected them to use what he had given them to help others. And in Luke, you're in Luke 12, look at verse number 47, Luke 12, 47. Luke 12, 47, the Bible says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." The Bible is teaching that unto whomsoever much is given shall much be required. And Jesus, he gave the disciples a training. He gave them his word. He gave them the example. He gave them the power over unclean spirits. And he expected them to help the man, to make it the difference. And when they couldn't do it, he said, "Oh, faithless generation." See, God has given us many things in life. And God expects us to use those blessings that he's given us. He's requiring something from us. He says, "Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And God has given us many things today. Of course, in the morning, we talked about the talents that God has given us. God expects us to use his talents for him. Not only that, he's given us his word. He's given us our church. He's given us our pastor. He's given us our friends, our family, our health, our finances, our resources. All the things, everything we have comes from God. You know, we talked about this morning how every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Everything we have comes from God, and God expects us to do something with everything he's given us. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. See, God has expectations. See, along with your gifts and your blessings, everything you have, along with all those things come expectations. See, God requires you to do something with them, and we should see that God wants us to help others with everything he's given us. Not only that, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You're in Luke, you're going to go past John, past Acts, past Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Not only has God given us his word, he's given us a church, he's given us our pastor, he's given us our friends, our family, our health, our finances, whatever he's given you, your resources, God has also given us a ministry to work in. He's given us a ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So God is saying, not only have I given you talents, your ability, whatever you have in life, I've also given you a ministry. I've committed to you the word of reconciliation. I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a job. Why? Because we're here in Christ's stead. As God prophesied back then, he said, "How long shall I be with you?" See, we are to be taking up the role that Christ had left us on this earth. You see, Jesus expected his disciples to heal that man, but even though he was there, of course, he ended up doing it, but he expected them to do it. But today, he's not here, and he expects us to use whatever he's given us for him. You see, along with all your talents and gifts, whatever, there come expectations with everything that God has given you. And when they couldn't do it, he was upset. He said, "Oh, faithless generation." Why? Because unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. God requires you, expects you to do something with everything he's given you. And so, you know, don't let things go to waste. You know, this church, people let it go to waste by just maybe stopping by once or twice a week. But, you know, you should be here in all services. Amen. People let times go to waste with soul winning times. They don't show up. We have a lot of soul winning times when you have the opportunity to go out soul winning. You know, God has given us his word. He's given us our pastor. He's given us friends and family in this church. Don't let all these things go by. Use them. God expects you to use them and do something with them. Go back to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Mark 9. Mark 9, look at verse number 14. It says in verse 14, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them." You see, when he came to his disciples, think of the picture. There was just a few workers. There was a few disciples and this multitude, this great multitude surrounding them. And, you know, this is a great picture of Christianity today. Too many Christians, we want to sit back and be spectators. We want to sit back and look at the few people doing all the work and just watch the amazing things that people do. But we should be involved in the work. We should be a part of it, not just spectating, not just sitting in the background. Let's go to verse 21. In verse 21, the Bible says, "And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Notice this man, he says, "If thou canst do anything." This man did not ask for anything major. He said, "If there's anything you can do, can you just do something?" Number one, I said, realize your expectation. Realize that you're expected to do something with all the blessings God has given you. You're expected to do something with everything God's given you in life. But number two, realize your ability. You know, this man, you know, God doesn't ask us to do many, like, crazy things. He says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." See, God just wants us to do something. He doesn't want us to do things that are beyond our reach that we can't do. The Bible says, "If thou canst do anything." See, realize the man was asking just for help. just for compassion. And he said, if there's something you can do, just do anything. And like we heard this morning, you know, pastor said, can you just get involved? And that's what this man was asking. He said, can you just get involved in my need? Can you just help me out in this situation? And all of us, we all have the ability to just get involved in some way. We all have the ability to do something in life. So we should realize that all of us have the ability to do something for God. You're there in Mark 9. Keep your place in Mark 9. Go to Matthew 4, if you would. Matthew 4. The man asked, if thou canst do anything. And, you know, sometimes we hear preaching, and sometimes we get shaken up saying, can you just do something about what you just heard? And so God just wants us to do something. And, you know, God doesn't expect us to do things that we're not capable of. But all of us have the ability to do something, to find a need and get involved. And, you know, just getting involved is something. You're in Matthew 4, look at verse number 18. Matthew 4, verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So we see Jesus Christ here. He's calling these men. He's calling Simon Peter. He's calling Andrew. He's calling James and John. And all he says to them in verse number 19 is just follow me. You know, would you just come along? Would you just get involved in this need? Would you just be with me and follow me? Just get involved in what I'm doing. He wasn't asking for anything crazy. He didn't say to Peter, Peter, could you please lead my disciples? He didn't tell Peter, Peter, could you please write the books of 1st and 2nd Peter? No, all he said is, Peter, would you just follow me? Would you decide just to get involved in what I'm doing? And you see John being called. He didn't tell John, John, can you please get caught up into heaven and write the book of Revelation for me? Could you please write my gospel? No, all he said, would you just be willing to come along? Would you just be willing to get involved? And today, you know, we have this opportunity to get involved with the move to our new building. A lot of opportunities to do things in this church, being able to help with the work, physically with the work of the building, preparing food for people, going soul winning, whatever it is, just getting involved, giving financially, just getting involved, doing something. And we see these great men of God who all he said was just follow me. Would you just be willing to get involved? You're in Matthew 4, go to Matthew 9, go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew 9. If thou canst do anything, see, we all have the ability to just get involved. Matthew 9, look at verse number 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Again, we see Matthew, another great man of God. And, you know, eventually people like Matthew, people like John, you know, all these people, Peter, they wrote books of the Bible. But all they did was just got on board with the program. They said, you know what, I'm willing to follow. He said, will you just follow me? And eventually they did mighty works for God. Why? Because they just chose, you know what, I am going to get involved. I am going to do something. I do see that need, and I'm just going to get involved in whatever Jesus wants me to do. And so you should decide, you know, you have the ability to get involved. All of us have the ability to do something, to follow along, to get involved. And it doesn't have to be anything major. The man says, if thou canst do anything, anything. And there's something all of us can do. You know, if you can do anything, can you at least just pray for this church building? If you could do anything, could you just show up for the time to help out and do the work? Could you sign up to maybe prepare food for people? Could you pray maybe for the lost? Could you pray for your church? Could you pray for the pastor? You know, if you don't go soul winning, could you become a silent partner? Maybe you go soul winning, but you don't speak. Could you decide to just open your mouth boldly? You're going to decide to talk? Do something more. You know, could you at least watch the soul winning seminar? We have this great resource that God has given us where we can learn how to go soul winning, and people just don't watch it. You know, God expects us to use those resources. You know, could you memorize at least the track, the verses to go soul winning? Could you become faithful to all the services? Can you give financially to support this church? Could you at least invite a friend to come to church or invite a family member to come to church? Could you read the Bible? I mean, the point is, can you do something to get involved in the battle that we're all in? See, this church, we're in a battle, and there's many things going on, and we all need to get involved in some area of life. And there's something all of us can do. We can all pray. You know, we can all be here. We can all support. We can all give of our time, our health, our resources, our finances. We can all do something to be involved. You know, Jesus, all he said was just follow me. And eventually these men did many great things for God. But all they did in the beginning was just got along with the program. They just got involved in whatever the need was. And so if thou canst do anything, in all of us, we have the ability to do something. We have the ability to make a difference. We have the ability to just simply get involved. Number one, I said, realize your expectations. You have an expectation put upon you with all the blessings God has given you. God expects something from you. Number two, realize your ability. You have the ability to do something. You know, there's something for everyone. All of us can do something for the Lord. Number three, realize your potential. Go back to Mark 9, if you would. Mark chapter number 9. Realize your potential. Mark 9, look at verse number 23. Mark 9, 23, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, the reason the disciples could not help this man, the reason is that they weren't able to help him is because they were not praying and they were not fasting. See, they didn't reach their potential to help this man. See, Jesus is saying, you weren't spiritually ready. You weren't praying and you weren't fasting to help this man. And so all of us, if we want to reach the potential for us to do more for God, we all have the potential to do more for God. But if we're going to do more for God, we're going to have to grow spiritually. You see, Jesus told them, you couldn't help them because you weren't prepared spiritually. You weren't ready spiritually. And if you and I, if we're going to do more for God, we're going to have to work on our spiritual growth. If we're ever going to meet our potential for God, in whatever area it is, we're going to have to grow spiritually. You know, if our church, if Verity Baptist Church, if we want this church to reach its full potential, then you and I, we're going to have to grow individually in our spiritual growth. See, it's up to each one of us to grow, and it's the only way we're going to reach our full potential. You're there in Mark 9. Go if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians 15. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you 2 Peter chapter 3. You're going to 1 Corinthians 15, but 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. See, the disciples, they could have made a difference. They could have helped out, but they weren't spiritually ready. And you and I, there are things that we can accomplish in life, but we need to prepare ourselves spiritually for those feats. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which is bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, here we see the Apostle Paul is saying, I am the least. He's saying, I'm not even worthy. But he's saying, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, Paul looked at himself as not a very high-minded guy. But he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul, he was an apostle. He was a missionary. He penned down most of the New Testament. He was one of the best soul winners in the Bible. You know, he was a man that did many things for God. He was a leader in the church. He did many things for God. Why? Because it says in verse number 10, it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. You see, Paul was a man that labored in his spiritual growth. You see, he saw himself as nothing. He saw himself, I am the least. I'm not even worthy. But you know what? God has allowed me to become that apostle. He's allowed me to become that soul winner, that missionary, that church leader. Why? Because he labored in his spiritual growth. You see, Paul is a man who labored in prayer, who labored in fasting, who labored in his Bible study, who labored in soul winning, and he was able to do more for God because he labored in his spiritual growth. You see, if we're going to reach our potential, we're going to have to labor in our own spiritual growth. The disciples could have healed that man had they prayed and had they fasted. You're in 1 Corinthians 15. Go, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. You see, if our church is going to reach its full potential, then we as individuals are going to have to do our part. We're going to have to decide to grow spiritually, to grow in the inner man, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, look at verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Here we have Paul thanking the church in Thessalonica, thanking them for what? For their charity, for their care, for their compassion, for all the things that they were doing, for them being involved, for abounding unto every good work. Why? Because it says, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. See, if you want to do more for God, your faith is going to have to grow. See, this church here was doing more because they were willing to grow. They were growing exceedingly in their faith. And so if you and I, if we're ever going to reach our potential for God, if we're going to do more, if we're going to accomplish those feats, then we're going to have to grow spiritually. And see, the disciples asked him, why could not we cast them out? You know, why couldn't we do this work? Why couldn't we make a difference? Why couldn't we help? And Jesus said, because you weren't ready, because you weren't prepared, because you didn't reach your potential spiritually. They could have healed them, they could have cured them, but they just weren't ready. You see, maybe it's time for you to increase your prayer life. Maybe it's time for you to increase in your Bible reading. Maybe it's time for you to increase in your soul winning, in your prayer, in your fasting. Maybe it's just time for you to just do more. You know, maybe it's time for you to give more of your life, to give more of your talents, to give more of your resources to God. You know, maybe it's time to just do more and realize, you know what, you can do more. We can do more if we just be willing to do more for the Lord, you know, just to grow spiritually in the Lord. See, number one, I said realize your expectations. We're all expected to do something with the resources God has given them. God expected the disciples to use that training, to use his word to heal that man. Number two, realize your ability. You know, if thou canst do anything, all of us can do something. We can all just simply get involved. We all have the ability to help in a need. And number three, realize your potential. We all have the potential to do more for God if we would just be willing to grow in the Lord. Go back to Mark chapter number 9, if you would. Go back to Mark 9. Mark 9, see, maybe tonight you do realize, you know what? Okay, I know I'm expected to do things. Maybe you realize, yes, you have the ability to get involved. Maybe you realize, yes, you know what? You do have the potential to do more. Maybe you realize all those things, but you just don't know where to start. Look at verse number 22 again. Mark 9, 22, it says, "And oft times they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You see, you should ask yourself, in whatever need you see, in whatever area in life, whatever needs there are, you should ask yourselves, you know, what can I do that has compassion? What can I do that shows I care? Not only that, it says, and help us. You know, what you should ask yourself, what can I do that will help others? You see, there's many needs around us. You know, people have needs. Your family has needs. Your spouse has needs. Your children have needs. Our church, we have needs. You know, the lost, they have needs. All these needs around us. And what if thou canst do anything, you should ask yourself, you know, what can you do that shows all these different areas? You know what? I do care. I do have compassion. And not only that, I do want to help. You see, God expects us to use everything he's given us to help others, to make a difference in life, to help in the needs that there are. And don't let the opportunities go by. There's a lot of opportunities right now to do great things for God. And this is an exciting time for the church of transition. It's a time we should all be excited for something new. But you know, we should all be willing to grow spiritually so that we can reach our full potential. Because we're not going to get there if we're not growing in the Lord. It's not going to happen. And so realize, you know, ask yourself, what can you do that shows, you know what, I do have compassion for this need? What can you do? You know what? I do want to help other people. You know, God wants us to do more. You know, if thou canst do anything, do something for the needs that are around us. Let's close in a word of prayer.